Okay. I just had to share, firstly, before I start, about just so much is happening in our church. Just this week, I'm just seeing the church come alive. You know, I just see the body of believers waking up. And all of the meetings that we're having, I really sense that. You know, if, for example, there's a building of faith everywhere. You know, Wednesday morning we had the ladies at my house. What an amazing morning. It was just truly incredible. All the ladies coming together, and I just really sensed the spiritual gifts just flowing. It wasn't organized. You couldn't organize it as well as that. It was just a beautiful, beautiful picture. And women praying for one another. I just loved it. And then Wednesday nights, I just want to encourage you, if you're not coming on Wednesday nights, I want to say it's really not too late. I don't know if Pastor Lou, but there's the growing course Wednesday nights, which is for those of you that are new in your faith and you want to go deeper. And then also we're doing the freedom, which is just blowing my mind. I'm up there repenting every week because we're listening to Robert Morris speak about deliverance. And I just know that that's so crucial to every believer. We've got to be saved, healed, and delivered and set free. Not just one time, but over and over and over, because things gather inside of us, don't they? Resentment, anger, pride, the list goes on. And so I just really encourage you that this is such a great tool. And Thursday night prayer meetings, wow! You know, last we had a combined prayer meeting here and there was 14 people. Now, you might go, oh, 14 people, that's not many. But trust me, there has been just a remnant for many years. And I see that there's an increase. And also our Thursday morning prayers here. So, you know, 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. And, you know, prayer is so crucial. So crucial, guys. And, you know, Thursday nights, there's stuff happening. Honestly, what a vibrant and exciting church to be a part of. It really is. Thursday nights, there's the worship practice. Thursday night under his canopy. Thursday night this week, we had a suicide prevention seminar. I mean, wow. There's a lot going on. And so I just want to keep you in the loop, but please come and be involved where you can. Please participate. Because it is where you do come alive. And I do believe that the Lord is making his church. He's pushing his church to come alive. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Are you, Lord? Am I hearing right? It's come alive, guys. Come alive into the Spirit of God. He lives within you and he wants to come out. He's bursting. Okay, now let me find my message here. I wasn't quite prepared to get up this soon, so just be patient. Talk among yourselves, pray in tongues, something like that. Okay. I'd encourage you to pray in tongues more regularly. It's very good for your spirit. Okay, so let us today, I'm going to be speaking about the 10 virgins. Let's just get straight to it. This is from Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. Do you have your Bibles? Do you want to follow along with them? I'd encourage you to bring your Bibles or look on your iPhone, because this is the Word of God. It's powerful, powerful sword. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps. And I brought one for, this is a little lamp that I got in Israel. And they have a little wick out there. I don't have the oil and I haven't got it burning, but I'm going to get it burning. I am burning. And they went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took jars of oil with their lamps. While the bridegroom delayed, they all rested and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Look, the bridegroom is coming. What an exciting time. We just blessed the bridegroom. It's a very exciting time when the bridegroom's coming. And the bride, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. The wise answered, no, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go rather to those who sell it and buy some for yourselves. But while they went to buy some, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for I know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. If only we knew this, yeah? But we don't. So I just love Matthew 25 because if I have a look here in this Bible, I know very clearly that it's about the end times because before it, the Lord talks about the end being near. It talks about the glorious return. It talks about perilous times in Matthew 24. So if we read past it as well, he talks about the parable of the talents and how we must put what the Lord has given us, the gifts, to good use. So I know, and it's often preached about, that this is about the end times. And when I came to prepare this message for the ladies, I had actually three messages to bring because I said to the Lord gives us so much information when we go into the secret place. And I encourage you all to please press into the Word of God because it's rich. It's rich and full of information and wisdom and guidance for our lives, but also to anoint us with power from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I'm going to keep saying that through this message, and I really, really, really want us to get it, that we need to seek God with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our strength. Yeah? Can I get some amens? Please, can we press in? We are the King's kids. We sing it up here. I am a child of God. Then if I am a child of God, I must know God. I must know God with all of my being. And if I don't, I must seek him. Because if I seek him, I will find him. He is talking about this passage. These are the 10 virgins, the 5 that know him and the 5 that do not. That could be the end of my message. Okay, but I'll go on, you know. I'll open it up a bit more. It starts off, so the Lord said to me, there's 3 messages that I could preach, but I said, Lord, he started downloading information about the end times, and I was ringing Cecily, talking to Cecily because she's more of an expert in this area, talking to Pastor Lou. I don't feel like I'm an expert on the end times, and so I do not want to be up here teaching you something about the end times. I feel like the Lord's asking all of us to start to understand about the end times. And to know it enough. But the most important thing I think the Lord wants me to talk to you about today is being prepared. Being prepared. Because we do not know the time or the hour. We do not know any of that. But we do know that we must be prepared. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you a little bit about today, how we can be prepared. Because we do not know the time, we do not know the hour, and there's so many different schools of thought, there's so much different theology on about what the end is, and I'm sorry, I don't know which one is is the one. Cecily, she can preach on that. But anyway, but notice that the parable starts off talking about the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins, and this description of virgins, he's actually referring to believers. So Christians, because they're virgins are pure and not given to a lover. And here the virgin represents a pure and saved follower of Christ. This passage also says each of these virgins, Christians, all had lamps, which lamps represent ministry. the Lord's talked about this church as being a light to this city because it's a ministry in the middle of the city. That's what it means in Scripture. It's referring to a ministry. And we know this because in Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. The reference of the lamp represents ministry. Are we all getting it? I like nods, just so you know. It just makes me feel good. If you're nodding, that makes me happy. So it makes me think you're awake and you're listening. So let me ask you, are you wise or are you foolish? The only way you know you're wise or foolish is if you see what's at stake. Do we know what's at stake? So you notice that all of the virgins had a lamp. Every single one had a lamp. And the lamp was a small container like this one here that I'm showing you. And it had a wick and it gave, an oil was put in it and it burnt the oil. So the lamp, now the lamp speaks of having capacity to shine God's light. Yeah? Every believer has a lamp. So your lamp is your life. Okay? Your lamp is your life. Jesus said of John the Baptist, he is a bright, shining lamp. In other words, you are a bright, shining lamp. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. So what does it mean to have your light shining? It means that you're doing something. It means that you're doing something constructive. It advances the kingdom. You know, acts of kindness. Maybe be kind to your husband. You know, I struggle with this. I'm just confessing. You know, be kind. Kindness is one of the things, the fruit of the Spirit. What are you doing? Not just in prayer, the prayer room, but you're actually doing something that causes people to know that you are the real deal. And that you have got something in your life that I want to carry. That you carry the life of God, so let your light so shine so that the men see what you're doing, your good works, and you glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, I love it when people say to me, what is it about you? People that don't know anything about me. I actually get so excited when they say that because I know that my light's shining. They say, why are you so joyful? Even in the midst of such tough circumstances. Because that is my light shining before man. You know, I'm loving people that are totally unlovable. This is really tough. But you know what? This is what Christ did for me. He loved me when I was not worth loving. But he still loved me. I always say that my measure of whether I'm really in with the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit within my life. This is the light within me. So in other words, he's saying the church, this church must become a light to the community in every aspect. So every one of the virgins has a lamp. The difference was between those who had oil and those that didn't have oil. They didn't have adequate supply. So we see that they were all Christians, they all had ministries, but there was only half that were wise, the other half were foolish. And what differentiated the two was the fact that the wise had oil and the foolish did not. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. See, when the bridegroom was coming, only for those that were prepared in their hearts through intimacy with the Holy Spirit had access to the dining table with the Lord. It means that they'd taken time to build intimacy. They'd taken time in prayer and the Word of God to come to know Him, to hear His voice, to yield to His leadership, to His direction. You know, Hagar, just as Esther yielded to Hagar, and Hagar prepared her before she was ready for the king. So we're called to let the Holy Spirit prepare our lives. Thank you, Steve, for nodding. He's my friend. Listen, you cannot run. This is the most important book in the world. In the world, it's the most sold book in the whole universe. No book has ever beat it. All right? Now, the thing is, it's not enough, though. It's not enough. I know people that read the word, but without the Spirit, there's something missing, you know. So it's not just enough to have your Bible. You need the Spirit of God, the fire of God, as you read it. The oil of the presence alive in great quantities in your life, because it is, I can read it and not always understand it. Does anyone else have that problem? Am I the only one? I sometimes read it and go, I just don't know, Lord. I just don't know. I just don't know what this means. But when I say, Holy Spirit, could you help me? Because He's sent to be my counselor. He's sent to be my helper. He's my assistant. You know, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to come alive. Yeah? I know I've misquoted scripture. I know I've misunderstood scripture. Lord, forgive me. He does forgive us when we ask Him. But those that didn't have oil tried to buy oil from those that had it. Oh, now this is the really hard part. I'm sorry, but I have to say it hard. You can't buy it. It's not for sale. You cannot buy the oil. It's not for sale. There's no market that you can go to. There's no preacher that you can get it from. You cannot get Matt's oil. Why? Because Matt paid a price that you can't pay. You can't get Peter Watson's oil because he's paid a price to get his oil. You can't get Carol's oil because I've paid a price that you can't pay to get. You've got your own opportunity to get your own oil. Only you can get your own oil. You can't buy it. You can't manufacture it. You can't make it up. It's the secret place. It's the secret place. It's the price. It's the overcoming. When I preached this to the ladies, I was a little bit more passionate. But I have paid a price. You know what? The Lord called Matt and I to this church. It's been costly. I could have run away a million times. A million. Many people know I could have. But do you know what I mean? I'm not in control of that. I can think that I am, but I'm not. Because when the Lord sends you, I'm just totally under the Lord's authority. I wish that I could boss Him around and say, nah, I'm not doing what you want. But that's where I get my oil. Are you agreeing or disagreeing? I get my oil because I keep pressing in. I keep saying, Lord, yes, I know that this church is a lamp to the world, a light to the world. The people in it are a light to the world. And the Lord's saying, yes, yes, yes. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Awaken, awaken, awaken. You know what? It's so easy to hide and follow the devil's way, but I've paid a price. Matt's paid a price. Other leaders in this church have paid a price. And I want you to see what it means. Sometimes we don't get the oil because we're so busy with life doing things. I am speaking to myself. Sometimes I get so busy doing things. They're not bad things. They're not bad things, but they distract me from having an adequate personal devotion to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God and to the Lord. And just like Mary and Martha, Martha was commended for placing a priority on relationship over works. And I want to be clear, it's not either or. Because some people go, oh, I just need intimacy with the Lord then and not to do anything. You know, but that's foolish. You know, it's both. Needs to come out of what we are in His presence. That's the work comes out of that. You see? When I'm in the secret place, the good works come out of that. Because just like Jesus would go and be with his papa every morning up in the mountains, away from everybody, seeking his father, he would go up there and he would go down to the streets and boom, blind eyes would open. It wasn't a striving. Yeah. He was in that place where the oil came. It's so easy. It is actually easy to seek God, to be with God. But there's so many distractions. Oh, Lord, help me. I am one of the worst at this. This is a message for me. I need to set the alarm earlier. But I love to sleep. Anyway, yeah, me, bad me. Anyway, build a life in the Word of God. Build one you say, well, I hear people say, I can't do it. I'm not good at it. I say that. But how easy is it to hang out with someone you love? I mean, it is easy, isn't it? Think about the person you love most in the world, other than the Lord. Is it easy to hang out with that person? It's like, other than that, I love Annie the most in the whole world. And I love hanging out with her. I don't want to leave. I don't want our time to be up. And I'm thinking, oh no, she has to go back to work or something. Oh boy. But that's the same kind of hunger and thirst the Holy Spirit wants us to have for him. He wants us to hang out and have chats and, yeah, coffee, whatever. Okay, so receiving the anointing of God is costly. I talked about that. It can't be bought with money. That's not what I'm referring to when I say it's costly. It's costly meaning you have to pay a price by sowing your life into the things of God. Those that want to carry the weighty presence of God's power will have to be those who pay the price in the secret place of studying the Word, prayer, fasting, serving. You know, salvation is the free gift according to Romans 6 verse 23. But the price to manifest the kingdom of God is a laid down life that is marked by prayer and fasting. This is what releases the oil of the Holy Spirit to us. This parable also shows us something about being revived, and that's what my message is about. It is about revival. That's what the 10 virgins is about, reviving God's people. It is about the end times as well. But we need to be revived before then. We need to come alive before then. We need to see as many as we can come into the kingdom before then. Yeah, that's our job. That's our purpose. Jesus is our hope. People are our purpose. Love is our call. That is what our church is called to, people. And seeing as many people come as we can. You can easily miss this from the parable by thinking that they weren't allowed into the feast because they were being sent to hell. But I'm not 100% sure about that. I don't think that's the yes to this. What I think it is, I think Jesus saying that you will miss your divine visitation. You will miss your divine visitation from him if you don't have oil. You will miss the anointing. And, you know, I love Christine Kane, and a lot lately she's been talking about that. She says we can have lots of gifting. We can be really gifted. But if we don't have the anointing, it's not as good. The gift without the anointing isn't as good. We need the anointing, and we only get that through the Holy Spirit and in the quiet place. So these are the three things that you need to do to steward his presence. Are you ready? Are you ready, 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 ready? You've got to live in a place of repentance. You know, repentance is not for unbelievers. I'm sorry to tell you. It is for believers. Who lives a lifestyle of repentance? Who lives a lifestyle of repentance? It's not once done, always done, I've got to tell you, because every day I fall. And every day I need to ask the Lord. The Lord said to the woman at the well, come to the well daily. Why did he say that? Because you need to deal with your stuff every day. Yeah? It's actually from a Greek word, and I've never heard this word, but Matt said there was a heavy metal band, Christian heavy metal band, and the Greek word is metanoia, and it literally means to change the way you think. And, you know, when John came preaching a message of repentance, he was preaching a message of a mindset change. And I have often had the wrong thinking about repentance myself. So I'm just clearing up my own misconceptions. So I thought that, you know how we're walking in this direction and then repentance means doing a full turn and turning in this direction. And that is what repentance is, and walking in the new way. But it's also to do with our minds. We need a renewing of our minds, a mindset change, because the thing is, we can change direction, but we'll just start going back to the old ways again. And how do we renew our minds? Speak it out loud. How do we renew our minds? Yeah, through the Word of God and through prayer and through fasting, I believe, and also through one another. Are you ready to be held accountable to one another? I'm always saying to people, please tell me where I am going wrong. I am, because I want to be right. I shouldn't be offended. I might be offended for a moment or hurt for a moment. But if I'm a real follower of Jesus, I shouldn't hurt that long, because if I'm made better by being fixed up, are you getting where I'm coming from? How good is that? How much more anointing will there be? So repentance. We have to change our mindsets. And literally, we did a ladies' course here with Carolyn Leaf. You know, she's written great books. I'd encourage you to look her up. But she talks about the renewing of our minds, the constant renewing of our minds. And, you know, as a man thinks, so he is. We've got to think the way that the Holy Spirit wants us to think. So I found that repentance is a necessary part of my personal revival. As I'm growing in God, there's always new mindsets He wants me to walk in and to grow in Him. So therefore, repent and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's Acts verses, chapter 3, verses 19. So that's the first one, repentance. Can we all do that? Can we all live lifestyles of repentance? It starts with us, guys. We can't be asking those people out there to repent if we can't do it, all right? And then number two, I think this is my favorite one, radical obedience. So radical obedience is such an important key to walking in personal revival. And the story of Jonah is just one story that comes to mind. You know what? In one day, because of one man's obedience, a whole nation was saved. That's kind of my, I think, wow. But that is what happened. Jonah wanted to run away, but God said, go. He gets in the whale. He gets chucked out of the whale. As soon as he sees the king, what? Repents. And he calls the whole nation to repentance. Who says that a nation cannot be turned in a day? There you go. That was radical obedience from Jonah, wasn't it? Radical obedience. And I just want to say that just never underestimate the call of God on you to perform a task, no matter how small you may think it is. And you know, I even think about Jonah. I love the Bible characters because they're our mentors, they're our friends. You know, Jonah, after he did that, then he's under the tree whining and complaining about, you know, he says, this tree isn't giving me enough shade and these people, they need to all burn in hell kind of thing. And the Lord's like, Jonah, what is it with you? Do you see what I'm trying to say? If you're not in the Holy Spirit, we start to do things in our own strength, with our own, we think we're wiser than the Lord is. You know, I just love that story because I think about poor Jonah. I identify with him. There he is. He's like, you know, they're so wicked. They're so wicked. Why should this happen to them? And the Lord says, Jonah, you care more about the tree giving you shade than you care about these ones. That just gave me goosebumps saying that. I mean, guys, that's how we can become. We can care so much about our comfort, can't we? And you know what? I just am fired up for this nation of Australia because I've just seen so much stuff happening. We went to Awakening. You know, we've got Shane doing his Australia for Jesus. They're amazing revivalists just being, you know, raised up. But I believe there's revivalists in each one of us. But even if we're not the one that's the number one evangelist, we're to be part of the team, part of the... You know, we could be the administrative section or we could be the one that organizes things. We could, do you get what I'm saying? We don't have to be the one that's the one up there doing all the talking, but we can be the one that comes alongside of and presses into the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say that there is an awakening. God is waking up his church, yeah? Yeah? Are you awake? Are you awake? Are you awake? Matt and I have had several prophecies that we would send thousands to flight. That's going to happen because the Lord keeps prophesying it. And we need all of you to be part of it. Yeah? We've seen already so many come to the Lord Jesus, so many be saved and be healed. And you know what? This is a sending church. This is a sending church. We send people out to do the work of the kingdom. That's what our job is. That's what the church is for, to come together, to encourage one another, to be holding one another's arms and lifting each other's arms high, but also where to send those out. There's going to be, we want to fill every one of these seats, plus more, right? That's our vision too. And we need to pray. I ask you, I charge you all to pray that those will come in and be planted and be a part of the army of God here for this city, okay? Because we've got a job, guys. We got a job to love this city with the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah? I just wanted more passion. Like, I think you should stand up and do a dance or something. Come on! Passion for this city, for the lost ones. There's people dying out there. They're going to die without ever, ever knowing Jesus. Oh, that is so heartbreaking. That breaks my heart. You've got neighbors. Oh, I mean it. I mean it. It needs, you know, we need the oil. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You could be one of them. You could be one of them, but obedience must be in action. And the last one is a lifestyle of prayer. You know, I've been praying in tongues a lot lately. I actually encourage you all, if you haven't had a baptism of the Holy Spirit, to really ask the Holy Spirit to push that in. But I've been praying in tongues. For me, praying in tongues is for me just to be edified and energized. You know, once I was praying in tongues, so I was driving to visit my dad before he passed away, and that's laughing because he knows what happened. I was praying in tongues like crazy in the car, and I just felt the Holy Spirit. I was on fire with the Lord. You know, when you're burning in the car, and I was praying in tongues, and then the next thing there's a policeman like going, he's in front of me, like, stop. And I'm thinking, I wasn't speeding. That's probably mad at me for sharing. But I actually believed that I wasn't speeding because I was behind a ute, right? And the ute was going slow. Anyway, whatever. And then I was just so brokenhearted. I was saying, oh, well, so much for praying in tongues. I'm not doing that anymore. But you know what? Be careful of the vows that you make. Then I actually stopped praying in tongues. And I thought, that was the dirty devil. Oh, I mean, anyways, I said to the guy, I'm sure I wasn't speeding, like with my, you know, happy. I wasn't trying to convince him, but I was truly convinced that I wasn't. Because I have a, you know, a doobie whacker thing, you know, that makes you do the right speed. Anyway, he said, ma'am, you were gaining on the ute, he said to me. And I went, was I? Oh, I said, I'm so sorry. He says, well, hang on a minute, hang on. He went away. He says, I'm so sorry, I have to give you a ticket. And I went, then I just burst out crying. Because a ticket costs a lot. Anyway, it's costly. That's what I'm saying. It's costly. Don't speed, people, all right? Watch this. But what I'm saying is praying in tongues, I had to come back to it because I did stop there. I did stop and I stopped praying in tongues, but you've got to come back. So what happens, you get filled with vibrancy. So this is having oil, has to do with our spirit life. It has to do with the kind of life you're living with God where nobody sees. Yeah? Where nobody sees. What time is it, Cecily? Am I 11? Oh, good. I've got a little bit more time. I'm nearly done. So he gives us grace to stay on course. He brings things and reveals things to us, and we need the Holy Spirit in our life. That's why a church without the Holy Spirit is dead. Yeah. A Christian without the Holy Spirit is not as alive as they should be, Cecily said. Exactly. So something is missing there. You've got to get the oil yourself. Learn how to yield and flow with the work of the Holy Spirit. We all need to be able to do that, okay? All of us can do that. And I really believe that revival, this is the hidden treasure of revival. No revival in all of history has ever started without prayer. It never comes to a church, a city, a nation, a region before it comes to a person. And so it always starts with a person in the private place of prayer. So then those that are ready, there is a time coming that Jesus will come. There's a time that Jesus will come. We do not know the time or the hour. It's absolutely certain, though, that he will. And who knows when? But those who are ready, those that were prepared, immediately arose and were able to enter in. What did they enter into? They entered into intimacy. They entered into an experience with God. They entered into a new realm with God. They entered into a totally different dimension that you have to qualify yourself for by intimacy with the Holy Spirit. What about the five who were foolish? The five that were foolish went away. By the time they'd done what they needed to do to prepare and come back, he said that the door is shut. And that means that that opportunity has ceased. That's a pretty significant thing, that that door is shut. Now, I can't even imagine what that must mean. I can't. I can't tell you the full context of that. I do not know. But for 2,000 years, there's been a door of opportunity open. We're a part of that people of opportunity. 2,000 years, and I would hate to come and find the door shut. I would hate to come and find the door shut because at the coming of the Lord, I was not. It would be that. Would it be for you too? Would it be for you too? I would suffer the loss of everything. I would. I wrote that here in my notes. I would suffer the loss of everything, but I would not suffer that. And sometimes it's going to cost everything. It's going to cost everything. That is our destiny. See, we talk about destiny and people think it in terms of, well, I'll do a business or I'll do this or I'll do that. But listen, our destiny is far bigger than that. Those things aren't wrong. Those things are good. But think about the Holy Spirit in that. The work of the Holy Spirit of you and you in that and what that means. In light of the 10 virgins, you're called to an eternal destiny of which your time on this earth is just the preparation. And it is honestly our apprenticeship here on earth. The only reason people don't prepare is that they don't know what's at stake. And I urge you, if you've heard nothing else, go and ask the Lord, what is at stake? What is at stake? I urge you to read and find out what's at stake. Can you imagine? Since they came and they knocked and he said, I didn't know you. Now notice this, it doesn't say they weren't Christians. It doesn't say they weren't it doesn't say they were evil. It doesn't say they were bad people. Can you get this? It just says, I don't know you. In other words, I have no intimacy with you. I have no intimacy with you. Think about intimacy for you and the Lord. What does that look like? You can't schedule in a move of God. You can't schedule in anointing. You can't. A wave of the Holy Spirit won't happen without a good number of us being burning with the oil. So who's going to pay the price? 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 Notice there was no room for the virgins to give an explanation of why they had no oil. God didn't ask them. Jesus didn't wait and say, oh, you know, Matt, why don't you have any oil? He didn't stop and ask that. He just said those that had the oil came, those that didn't have the oil, or the door was shut. So there'll be an emphasis in these last days of this. Intimacy with Jesus, that's why I'm talking about it. This is where it's at. That he loves us, he desires us, he wants intimacy with us. There's going to be an increased emphasis on that. Second, there's going to be an increased emphasis on the kingdom advancing through the earth. And we're seeing that. And in nations that we don't have close relationship, that's already happening. Yeah? And I'm not going to talk about all that, but it's massive. Right? The kingdom of God is advancing. Are you going to be part of it or are you not? And thirdly, there's going to be an increased emphasis on social justice. And we're the ones to be the voice for those that don't have a voice. Yeah? I mean, I'm not going to go into that either because I don't have time, but that's another sermon in itself. There are people coming from other nations that need help. There are people in our own nation that need help. There are people that feel there's no other option than to have an abortion and we want to be able to help them. You know, this is the stuff, guys, that the kingdom of God is meant for. We're meant to be a loving influence on those that need help. This is Jesus' request to us. Will we be these people? So they didn't. Now look what happened. They came a cry at midnight. Midnight's the darkest hour, so they all slept and slumbered because he delayed. And there's a tendency when the Lord's not come and we don't know when he's coming and we think it's a long way off because we don't really know, or even if it's not going to happen soon, we tend to just sleep and slumber a little bit and not really notice what's going on. And finally, there's a cry that comes, and there's definitely going to be a prophetic voice. And it always started speaking to the church. Jesus is the lover of your soul. Jesus is the coming bridegroom. Notice what the voice says. Behold, he comes. Go out and meet him. So three things. Number one, Jesus is coming. He is coming. He will return. He will return as a bridegroom, passionately in love with you. Three, go out and meet him. Rise up and meet and engage personally in your personal life with God. Engage in intimacy with him. Don't neglect this side of your life and think, oh, somehow it'll work out. It doesn't. It doesn't. There's just consequences and choices. That's what I tell my children all the time. Your choice has a consequence. And I'm finished now, and I just want you, to really just press in and imagine. Many of you have seen this. We just recently saw Anna and Giannis be married. You've seen a wedding take place, and you've seen a couple. You've seen a couple come together, and it's just so beautiful, isn't it? Imagine the day, remember the day when you first gave your heart to the Lord. What a beautiful day that was, yeah? So much celebration, so much joy, so much happiness, yeah? But then in a little while, and I'm not talking about any couple here, but in a little while, sometimes things just go cold. you know, and things aren't quite right and your heart isn't quite as much in love as it was at the very beginning. And you begin to flicker and the light starts to fade. And that's the same with our draining out the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the Bible tells us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit and let your life begin to flicker. If you're angry with people here today, if you're bitter, if you're resentful, if you hold anger and unresolved issues in your heart, please don't do that. It'll stop the flow of the oil, the flow of the Holy Spirit. So be passionate for the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life and do whatever you need to ensure that it's there. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just thank you for the promise of a great day when you'll return, when our groom, you, Lord Jesus, himself comes, when he gathers us up and takes us into a new dimension in him. Lord God, there's influence and power and authority that can change the world when we're in you, God, when we're in you, not of ourselves, Lord, but of you. What an immense privilege we have, God, that we can today be fired up in the Holy Spirit, be fired up in the things of God, be full of your wisdom and power and authority, Lord, and influence. Lord, we want to be yielded to your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to yield our hearts and our minds and our bodies to your Holy Spirit. And we just want to today declare, Lord, that we want a fresh devotional life to you, a life devoted, God, to you and your purpose in and through us. God, today we just want to press in and say, God, we want to be fully in intimacy with you, fully in love with you, Lord. Nothing else matters but loving you, Lord. Nothing else matters. All the other love actually flows from that, Lord. Help us to see that today. Help us to see it. Help us to carry our life as a bright and shining light, Lord. Help us. It flows from the inside out, Lord. It flows from the inside out. And just while our eyes are closed, if God has spoken to you today, keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. How is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? How is your relationship? The Lord loves you. He wants to ask you, how is your prayer life? Are you praying? Are you seeking me? Are you asking me to come and dwell in your heart, live in your life, bless you in every area? Is there passion? Is there passion, or has the passion gone? The Lord asks, I want that passion with you again. I want to burn like a flame in your heart afresh. Are you in the Word and reading? And is God speaking new things to you? Is he speaking over your life? Is he transforming your mind, renewing your mind by his Holy Spirit? Are you living out of yesterday's experiences, or are you living in the fresh manner of today? The Lord is asking, are you living in the fresh manner? Are you receiving fresh insight from God, or do you hear nothing? The Lord wants today to bring fresh insight, fresh oil, fresh anointing, fresh love, fresh passion. He wants you to realize that it's not external. It's not what that's external to you that counts. It's that intimacy. That's where the price is paid, and everything just flows from that. He's asking today, are you hungry? Are you hungry for the pursuit of Jesus? Are you hungry in the pursuit of Jesus? Are you hungry in the pursuit of the Holy Spirit? Am I doing the things in my life? That's what the Lord's asking you as you keep your heads down and your eyes closed. Am I hungry? Am I positioning myself to be hungry and to let the inflow of the Holy Spirit come? Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you that you are our comforter. And Lord God, it's just for goodness and for wholeness and for a rich relationship in you that we desire, God. And Lord, as people have their heads down, if you felt that you want to grow more deeply in the things of God, then he wants you to do business with him today. He just wants you to do business with him today and come. And he sweeps our sins away. He sweeps away our apathy. Just like that, it's just gone, and the freshness comes and an awakening comes, and we're just made new again this morning. That's the beauty of him. So I just ask that if there's anyone here that wants more of the Holy Spirit, then I just want you to come to the altar and do business with God. We don't even need to lay hands on people. You know what? It's personal. It's personal. But if you have something that's blocking that, if you feel there's something blocking that, then we'll have the elders and the leaders here come and lay hands on you and see you free. But today's the day that God wants you to enter in. He wants you to be one of the five that the door is open to, that intimate place. He says, don't delay, don't hold back, don't wait. Another moment, come and be refreshed and revived.
I'm just going to ask Alex to sing Good, Good Father as we close the service.